So I went on to Hinduism. Let's look at Hinduism together very briefly. The core sacred documents of Hindu belief together generically are called the Veda, and they have four collections. One is hymns to God, another is priestly chants, another is sacrificial formulas, and others are magical chants. And the most widely known, perhaps, of Hindu literature is the Bhagavad Gita, along with the Upanishads. And the Bhagavad Gita is a great epic poem between Krishna and Arjuna. And through this poem, it describes a dialogue and a war that went on, and describes how the world as we know it is not real. That our existence here on earth is in fact a dream in the mind of Brahman. Brahman is the Hindu concept of ultimate reality. And so the world around us does not exist. It's all a dream. And we are part of that dream in the mind of Brahman, which is ultimate reality. And ultimately, we cannot contact that or relate to it because we are simply part of that dream. The Bhagavad Gita and some of the other Vedas also do provide a strong moral basis for living. So there is another, as in Buddhism and most world religions, a very strong moral foundation for how to conduct oneself in life, which is a good side. In all of that, though, we continually run into the whole issue of karma and reincarnation, and one must live out one's karma, whether good or bad, and that's due to the past life that you supposedly lived as you are living out this life, and would then go on, based on how you lived out your karma in this life, your next reincarnation would depend on that, and you could be reincarnated as a person of high status or low status, you could be reincarnated as an animal, or even as a plant. And because people are concerned about not messing up their karmas, they would tend not to help others, and which is why we have a lot of suffering, for example, in India, with people seemingly showing no compassion. But I found that karma justifies unimaginable human misery and suffering. I saw this with my own eyes, and it was very disturbing to me. And to then know that so many millions of people were living in the system of endless reincarnations, trying to rise to a higher level. Again, it was all down to one's own behavior. Did not, like Buddhism, did not explain adequately beyond dreams how we are here. In fact, it says we really aren't here. And my issues of my struggling human condition, again, are given moral ways of behavior, but not any real hope outside of myself how to get to heaven or any eternal paradise or hope of eternity beyond my own personal efforts. It was very interesting to me when I was in Delhi visiting a Hindu temple, saw on the wall a big marble wall with an inscription in English and in Hindi, and it said this: "To the one supreme being who is over all." It amazed me that in this temple where people were worshiping so many different gods, they acknowledged, as we do in Christianity or in many religions, that there is one supreme being over all. The problem was that the Hindus can't get to him because of all the millions of little gods that get in their way. Those gods are primarily Krishna, Shiva, and Vishnu, but there are millions and millions of other little gods all throughout the land that people are constantly dealing with, and thus they rarely ever get to that ultimate reality, if in fact that's what it is for them. You'll find, if you visit a nation like India, idols everywhere, places of natural beauty where, for example, in the U.S., you would have a national park or a bench to look at the view. In India, you'll find shrines and idols burning incense to the spirits of these places. They're not worshiping the creator as much as the spirit of a created place. And since I wasn't getting much answers to help me out of my human condition, I decided to continue my journey.